It's November 21st, Monday, 2016. It's 4:53 p.m. I'll have to be putting on my headlamps pretty soon, or my headlamp. Had a couple of little feelings on the way up, a little kind of flashbacks to, I'm not over with this yet, but you know, the feeling I had, you know, some of the worst feelings I've had from the anesthetic this past time. And it's really, it's a dislocation of your consciousness. It's of your identity. It's like you're not connected. You just don't feel connected to yourself. It's a very disconcerting feeling. You know, I always have relied upon some kind of ground or intuition that I felt, maybe you could say it's in my solar plexus, it's in my gut, it's in a voice, it's my intuition. And this anesthetic last Monday, it caused, and you know, as the week progressed, you know, it's been now a week, but as that, as the days, you know, as Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday came along, you know, maybe Friday it slowly started to subside, but it's not over yet. You know, the sense that you're going about your work, but you're not emotionally connected to it. I guess you could say emotionally connected is what I'm... And it was very hard for me at work. I felt that I wasn't connecting with people as like I should, or as I usually do. That there was a strained quality to my interactions. And and if anything, you know, what I seek is coherence. And if that means I need to shut off higher things, you know, to become more insentient, but more grounded, more whole, even if I'm less, then that's what I do. But yeah, kind of what hit me was this feeling of dislocation, of disconnection, and it's a horrible feeling. And it made me reflect upon, you know, these images of pedophilia regarding the Pizzagate scandal that involves many of Washington, D.C.'s elites. I have a post, or I'm developing a post for it at the website, at my website. But there's been, of course, the mainstream, the corporate media is not covering this because it is too hot, way too hot. You know, it's beyond, and just beyond what anyone can imagine. But what happens is, let's say you are a young, you know, defenseless child, and you're being gang raped. And there's some artwork of victims of this that are actually used in some of the advertisements for this Comet Ping Pong Pizza. I think it's in Chevy Chase, Maryland, on Connecticut Avenue. And some people collect this lady's artwork. But it's used in promotional posters. And what it is this one is a little girl who's being raped with like six people standing by watching. And her body is lifted. You know, it's off the ground. you know, a few inches. And there's another one, a poster of a girl that's kind of floating in space, but in a supine position. And apparently, this dissociative state, which is what it represents, of the body, of the mind leaving the body, is a protective mechanism of victims in trauma, and they can't cohere and they just break, and it leads to, I'm not sure if these are the right technical terms, but you know, a dissociative condition. If that's schizophrenia, I'm not sure. But it means that, you know, you can leave yourself. And, you know, people often are attracted to others because they're real. You want someone who isn't lying, who isn't not present. It's attractive to find someone who's grounded and wholesome and whole. And not, I mean, I've worked with some emotionally disturbed kids, psychotic kids, on meds for, you know, various mental conditions, and it was disturbing to be around them because they were not present, or they were not, or that part of them that was present was not all of them, and it just felt contrived and delusional. But you know, on a spiritual level, I mean, Alex Jones had a rant about this from I think 1984, where the protagonist, I guess his name is Winston, I think it's Winston, he's being tortured to submit, and his torturer said basically something along the lines of compliance is wholly inadequate. He wants Winston to believe that, for example, 2 + 2 = 5, or believe in Big Brother. And there might have been some other statements along the lines of spiritual rape. Because, well, and this gets into, sometimes I tell people about Musil, what I read about in a Holocaust book called The Survivor. And the more I'm learning about the Holocaust, not going to go there in terms of questions about the numbers or how it's been used or amplified for various reasons, but there is some evidence out there, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to side with the so-called white, you know, Aryan supremacists or something, but they might have a point on some issues. But anyways, apparently the inmates, the prisoners in some death camps were, there was roll call taken each morning. And apparently the guards or some of the overseers would inspect each prisoner before they went to their work. And if there was a fighting spirit, if there was life in the eyes, then the prisoner was sent to another, you know, out for another day of work, another day of labor, forced labor. But if there was defeat, a spiritual death, a lifelessness in the eyes, then they were sent to the gas chambers. And because while you know, you could say, oh, the prisoners, they needed them for work, and that was a big part of it, you know, to support the war effort. But the higher or darker, the darker layer, the darker rationale for the presence of the camp and the routine and the rules of the camp, of the death camp, was to destroy or break the spirit of the prisoners. That was the dark sacrament by, you know, apparent, you know, the order of the death set. You know, this skull and bones has its roots in SS ceremonies and secret society type stuff. And, you know, to actually fracture a spirit or sever that spirit from the body while the body is yet alive is a goal. And so when I think about these children that are, you know, you have to look at my posts, but there's a lot of evidence that the Clinton Foundation and its so-called humanitarian work goes to rescue children from in countries that don't have birth certificates and bring them back to some refuge across the street from this pizza joint that has, it's just so deep, that is an intelligence operation to compromise people and to have them participate in this stuff, and also to feed the demons already on the payroll. But it's also to compromise people being brought in. So you have evidence, you have video footage that no career, no life can exist with, you know, in the presence of. You know, picture God, they're involving infants sometimes, but whoever it is, to be forcibly raped over and over, or, you know, or maybe some greater ceremony where they're, you know, this practice of spirit cooking, which is eating bodies, you know, eating their hearts, drinking their blood, you know. The Greek gods did it. The Mayans did it. Jeffrey Dahmer did it. Mountain lions do it. They eat the heart and lungs first thing. Then they let you, the body, you know, rot for a few days. But, oh, they want that heart fresh. Mountain lions do. After they scratch off your face. There's been some cases of people that have been, you know, held down by a mountain lion for an hour or two until rescued. And then the person dies shortly after. But they won't release the details of the body that was recovered. Just too gruesome for the photos. So here I am, you know, the heart and soul of spiritual practice is to cohere at the highest and most powerful, grounded level possible. You know, the pyramid picture, you know, where you're just the earth and you're reaching into the stars, into the cosmos, and that's the apex of the pyramid. There's a name for that top part, that top stone, the capstone. That's what it is. And to do the exact opposite of that, as a means of your satanic practice, and that these people are admitted Satanists, some of them, but the practice of spirit cooking is satanic. Satanic meaning, I guess it means the inversion of all Christian or wholesome principles. Just turn them all on their head. And by violating them, you will achieve, I don't know what you're going to achieve. Certainly dominion over others. But it's not a sustainable dominion. I mean, the people die. And then you have to get more. So it's really you're always looking to, if your ground is the dominion and absolute control and sexual violation and spiritual dismemberment of others, then you're going to be on the prowl all the time for new victims. Let me put on my headlamp. I just can't fathom the bringing so much terror. Into the body, mind, and the soul of a living being. That they dissociate. That is, it's a crime against humanity. It's a crime against God. It's whatever aggravated, to the nth degree. It's, I don't know if we need a special category, but someone who does that is, I would say, beyond redemption. I can't make that judgment, but it would seem that the transgression was so great that there really can't be a bridge between that person and civilized society ever again. And I'm against the death penalty. The state abuses its prerogatives, its the rights that it believes it has. I think God is the only entity that has the right of choosing life or death for people. And so I think that we spend too much on people in prisons. I would like to institute something a little, medieval, really. I mean, you look up a guy, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who saves money on prison construction. He has people living out in 110 degree weather under tents in Arizona. What I mean is he's able to incarcerate people in very, very basic conditions, and he tells him, if you don't like it here, you shouldn't have done what you did. You better be on your best behavior so you can get out. People have an incentive to get out. But if there are people who are apt to murder, You know, what do you do with them? They really shouldn't be among other prisoners, other people. I don't know what to... I'm not sure what the answer is, but... you know, I would like to be able to incarcerate violent criminals, you know, for about a third of the price that we're doing right now. And yet, you know, preserving their, you know, their freedom in a sense. In the sense of, you know, I think everyone has a right to not be violated physically. You know, just some small stall. They just don't mingle with others. Yeah, the state abuses its privileges, and it kills political dissidents, religious dissidents. People are framed by other government workers, you know, for to take the fall for someone else's crime. You have, you know, fraudulent use of DNA, you know, which is, you know, blood, DNA, hair, those are all very suspect sciences. A lot of errors have been made using that, using those techniques of identifying people. Yeah, just human beings are so fraught with error that I just don't think that it's appropriate to give human beings a formal right to murder. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the dissociation, just wanted to, that's a crime, the greatest crime. Because the purpose of life is to cohere and transcend and include and not to divorce or alienate. Just can't picture that. I've been through a lot, but I've never become dissociative. Just can't. Just can't fathom that. Just unbelievable. Can't think of trauma more worse than the trauma that leads to a dissociative condition.